Okay, hey everyone. I think Cheryl missed what I wrote on the board, but I was asking her to go ahead and tell you all about her interview later today. Today at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here in the sanctuary, Cheryl will be interviewing Maria Felipe. Isn't that right, Cheryl? I think I got that right. I'm going by memory, so sometimes that fails a little bit. Cheryl has a program here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday, that is called Building. I remember the short name, Building Trust. There's a longer name, Cheryl. What is it? It's Building Trust and Listening to Your Inner Guide, I think, is the full name. Building Trust and Listening to Your Inner Guide. And what Cheryl does is she interviews different developing trust. That's it. Developing trust and listening to your inner guide. Thank you very much, Cheryl. And she interviews different teachers each week. And the programs have been very good. Some of y'all may have been here last week. She interviewed Maureen Muldoon. I was here once when she interviewed John Mundy. I sometimes miss her program because I have, you know, other things that I need to be doing during that time. I typically have an appointment during that time. But when I have caught her program, it's been very good. And we decided at the leadership subcommittee meeting last week to start recording and posting her program on our website. So if you go to awakening-together.org and you look under the audios menu, you'll find Sanctuary Highlights. And under that, you're going to find what we're calling the Developing Trust Interviews, because I needed a shorter title in order to get it to fit on the menu bar. Developing Trust and Listening to Your Inner Voice was too long for the menu bar, so I called it the Developing Trust Interviews. And last week's Maureen Muldoon interview has been posted there, and of course today's interview with Maria Felipe will be recorded and posted there. I think we might still have the John Mundy and maybe a couple others from the past. And when Ken gets the opportunity, he will post them there as well. And I don't know who all of Cheryl's guests are in the future, but I do know who her guest is next Wednesday. Oh, John Mundy is on the website. Okay. I do know who her guest is next Monday. That's Regina Dawn Akers. So I'm aware of that because that's on my calendar too. So if you all are available, please come at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays to listen to Cheryl's interviews. If not, check out the audios when they get posted on the website because they're quite interesting. Also, what I've been working on while I was listening to Gina Lake today is our fall retreat budget, our 2017 fall retreat budget. And I need to do the budget with all of the costs in order to figure out what to charge. That's the main reason for doing the budget. Oh, look, here's some other dates. Let me read those for the radio. So Caroline Chang is who she'll interview on December 21st, Reverend Carrie Christensen on December 28th, and Cindy Renard, Gary Renard's wife, on January 4th. So, yeah, it's real exciting to watch who she brings in and who she interviews. So, again, that's every Wednesday at 7 Eastern. That would be 4 Pacific. So, as I was mentioning, I've been working on the fall retreat budget, and that is so I can figure out what to charge, because we always charge an extremely fair price, I think, based on the expenses and all of that. We never get really, really rich, except when Bentinho. We got a little bit rich on the Bentinho retreat because 80 people came, but typically we don't have that many people, so we don't get really, really rich or anything. But it's a fair price for the retreatants that come. We get to pay our speakers a reasonable fee, and of course the retreat center gets paid, and the airlines get paid for travel, all that kind of stuff happens. So I'm almost done. I need to go back and check my numbers, so I'm not going to announce any prices right now in case I made a mistake. But I'm almost done. And I'm looking at, you know, offering different discounts, incentives. So like people who register and pay in full prior to August 15th will get a discount. People who register for all three retreats will get a discount. So, you know, I'm trying to offer different opportunities for people to get even better prices. So working on that. And in case you guys didn't hear the other night at our 2017 fall retreat, our speakers are going to be Gina Lake, who was just here. And then there'll be 2.5 days with Gina Lake, followed by 2.5 days with Regina Dawn Akers, followed by 2.5 days with Tess Hughes and Bob Ferguson together. They'll be teaching as a pair. They're both from the TAP Foundation. So it should be a real exciting retreat. It begins, I believe it's October 20th. I'm not looking at my calendar right this second, but I think it's on October 20th. It's around that date in 2017. So once I get these prices figured out and then get all of the bio and description information from Bob and Tess, I'll get those web pages up, and hopefully by January, people can begin to register for that fall retreat. Cheryl has said anyone who would like to be a guest speaker with Cheryl, just IM her and let her know. So she is actively, I don't know if Laurel is available, and I don't know if Laurel is listening, but I would love for Laurel to be a guest. So Laurel, I don't know if you want to contact Cheryl, or Cheryl, you want to contact Laurel, or both of you want to ignore me. Laurel probably thinks I don't listen to her because I'm not in the sanctuary, but I do listen to her on the radio. In fact, I listen to a lot of people on the radio. The radio is easier to get on my phone, and often I'm listening on my phone. And right now somebody's trying to call me on my phone, but they're just going to have to wait. What I'm going to do, since this is the holiday season, and I have a beautiful Christmas list of music that I only listen to during the month of December, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that this is December to play a Christmas song to take us into, you know, that reverence, so that we can begin looking at NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we may also move into chapter 3. We'll see what happens. Chapter 2 is pretty small. Of course, last week on The Guiding Light, we looked at NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and it's a wonderful introduction to 1 Corinthians. It reminds us that the teacher-student relationship is a temporary relationship, and that what's actually happening is that we're all walking together to awakening to the true self. And that's a beautiful, beautiful reminder that that there's always equality. In form, it may look like one is teaching and one is, you know, the student, but there's always equality, and that we are awakening together, kind of in a joint partnership. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful vision. And then there was also a paragraph that really reminded us that the ego is still on our mind, and we can't pretend like it's not. One thing, I've been changing a lot lately, and some of you may know that. Some of you may be able to hear it in me. I've been changing a lot lately, and one of the changes that has occurred is that I'm not real fond right now of the idea of awakening. Isn't that silly? When that's what we're here doing. Here we are awakening together. And I am not fond of the idea awakening or awake, maybe. And I'll tell you why. Because it seems like people want so badly to be awake from the wrong mind, not from the right mind, from the wrong mind, that people use the term awake for additional denial. For example, on Sunday night when I was in the sanctuary introducing a new program that I'm going to offer starting January 10th, which is called Consistent Gentle Healing. There was a person in the room writing something about, I think you were all born awake. You're already awake. And there are people who love to take that and say, yes, I'm already awake. And what happens in the idea that I'm already awake is things don't have to get looked at. Denial continues. Pretending rules. And so what's happened for me is that I thought, you know what, it doesn't really matter whether I'm awake or I'm not awake. You're like, let's forget about that. Let's take I'm awake or I'm not awake. Either one. Okay, whether you would say I'm awake or whether you would say I'm not awake. Let's take either one and let's wad those ideas up like a piece of paper and throw it away. And instead, let's just look at our experience. What is my experience? Do I have an experience of consistent love, you know, no matter what, with everyone, without expectations? Do I have an experience of consistent love? Do I feel this causeless joy? You know, do I just feel this wonderful, wonderful joy? Am I focused in the present moment, or is my mind always going back into the past or racing ahead in the future? You know, what is my experience? Let's forget all about awake. Let's just forget about it because it's becoming another obstacle. And just, what's my experience? And within my experience, you know, what's my next steps? Is there a next step here for me? You know, is there something to be looked at, something to be worked on, something to be cultivated? And just stay with that and forget all about this awakeness stuff. And what started me on that discussion was going over NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I feel like in its own way, this is what Holy Spirit is saying in the paragraph that starts at the bottom of page 287, where it says the ego is still within your mind. It may seem to persist for some time. This is not to be cause for concern for you, but it is to be acknowledged, and you are to remain aware. For if you do not remain aware and alert to the ego in your mind, you may forget to question your thinking and believe you are listening to me when you are not. So if we adopt this idea, I'm awake, when actually there are still things to be looked at, we may avoid the looking. At the same time, you know, I don't think we need to go around saying, I'm not awake, I'm not awake. I don't know when I'll awaken, I'm not awake. Because you know what? As A Course in Miracles says, you're not wholly insane anymore. You know, you're not wholly insane anymore. You know, in a way, you know, compared to when you were wholly insane, you are awake or somewhat awake. I don't know how to word that. So, again, I just want us to be able to be genuine. I'm seeking genuineness. And it seems like sometimes this whole idea of awake gets in the way of us being able to be genuine. Either we're excessively lacking because I'm not awake, or we're excessively denying because I am awake. And I think we can just get rid of both and just move forward. Just be here now and go forward one step at a time. And that is kind of my review of NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I do want to tell you one more little thing. I noticed Hank in the room, and that kind of got my attention. I don't know why. Hank, I don't even know if you know Hal Seeley, because you were in the Monday morning MPP class, and Hal was in the Wednesday night MPP class, but seeing you made me think of him. Hal Seeley was here last night at my house. He came yesterday afternoon. We went out to dinner with some local friends here in Pueblo. He spent the night, and then this morning when I got up, he was already gone. He had taken off, but it was kind of nice spending a little bit of time with Hal. And Hal has not been listening to my teachings in the very recent time because he has been up in Nebraska at a funeral and has been occupied with that. So what was very interesting was Hal was feeling a little bit disturbed, I think, because he was having some realizations, but he wasn't comfortable necessarily with his realizations. And the realizations were very similar to the kinds of realizations I've been having and speaking about lately. You know, like forgetting all this awake stuff. You know, that's one of the things. Like, I just feel like I want to just forget about all this awake stuff. I'm like, exactly. Another one was he wants to forget about speaking about things as if he knows when he doesn't know, you know. And I think I did this thing on Sunday night where I talked about, you know, I don't want to say anymore that the world is going to disappear when you're awake because I don't know that. And I heard Gina Lake say something very similar at the beginning of her teaching. She's not going to speak about, you know, whether the world is real or not real, you know. and Hal was having these same realizations, but he was kind of uncomfortable with them. So it was kind of nice when he came and shared them with me, and I told them, you know what, I'm in the exact same place. I'm just kind of done with all that stuff. You know, I'm done with awake or not awake. I'm done with acting like I know what I don't know. And Hal felt very, very relieved. He perceived his short time here to be very healing. What I perceived is that NTI 1 Corinthians is right. we're walking this together. You know, here Hal wasn't even here in the last couple of weeks when I've been teaching along this new vein, and yet he was picking it up too. And again, Gina Lake came in here and started her teaching an hour ago with a very similar statement. So 1 Corinthians is right. Some of us may appear to be teachers. Some of us may appear to be students. But somehow we are walking this path together. And that's really, really exciting. And if we start opening our eyes to that and seeing that, I think we're going to be very, very excited together. So that's my review of NTI 1 Corinthians. So let me play one of my favorite Christmas songs, and then we will come back and start looking at NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This song is called The Gift. If you don't want to blast your ears, I can't see how loud my volume is. Let me just turn it way down, and then I can turn it up.
Poor orphan girl named Maria was walking the market one day. She stopped for to rest by the roadside, where a bird with a broken wing lay. A few moments passed till she saw it, for its feathers were covered with sand. And soon cleaned and wrapped, it was traveling in the warmth of Maria's small hand. She happily gave her last peso on a cage made of rushes and twine. She batted a little corn from the market, watched it grow stronger with time. Church on with tinsel and light, and all of the temple brought presents to lay by the manger that night. There were diamonds, incense, and perfumes, and packages before a king. But for one ragged bird in a small cage, Maria had nothing.
Okay, so let's go ahead and begin with NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the last paragraph of chapter 1 again, because chapter 2 just kind of continues from that last paragraph. So I'm going to start with the last paragraph in chapter 1. Yourself, meaning the person, the personal self, yourself is to be given to me now, that any self that is not your truth may be left behind. Choose not to cling to yourself as you perceive yourself to be. Choose instead to lay yourself aside and to become like an empty shell. That which is emptied shall be filled by me, and the one who is filled by me shall know his own fullness. Again, the last sentence. That which is emptied shall be filled by me, and the one who is filled by me shall know his own fullness. So going to NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and again, this is on page 288 in NTI. As an empty shell, you are filled by me. As an empty shell, you witness the reason that is your own. Lay down yourself in service to me, and you may serve me and come to know your true self. It doesn't say true self in NTI, but whenever it has that capital S, I'll try to say true self in case you aren't reading along. If you hear me say self without the word true, then that's meaning the false self. So again, this very first paragraph in chapter 2 says that as an empty shell, we witness the reason that is our own. If you spent some time contemplating chapter 1, which is what I kind of asked for last week so that we wouldn't forget it, you'll remember that in chapter 1, it asked us to remain aware of the ego in our mind and to continuously question our thinking and seek for the reason, or we could call that the reasoning, that we are holding. And it said, as my servant, right, meaning we'll call this the Holy Spirit's servant, that we would desire to hold to right reason, and whenever we found wrong reason in our reasoning, we would let it go. And so what this paragraph is saying is that as an empty shell, we will witness the reasoning that is our own. The reasoning that is our own is the reasoning that does not come from Holy Spirit or the benevolence of the universe. It's the reasoning that does not come spontaneously from the right mind. It's that which we're holding on to, that which we're thinking. It includes our attachments, our opinions, our ideas of right and wrong, our ideas of true and false. And so what's kind of interesting about this is it's asking us to become an empty shell, but then it's telling us that if we become an empty shell, we're going to witness our thinking. So it's kind of an interesting conundrum. How do I become empty if there's still thinking there? And I'm witnessing the thinking. I mean, doesn't empty imply no thinking? And apparently, based on this paragraph, empty does not imply no thinking. I would say empty implies no attachment. No attachment to the thinking. One thing that I have noticed as I have been observing the mind is that the mind, when it's not actively being used by me, let me clarify the difference. Just before I came here to do this teaching, I was listening to Gina Lake and I was doing the budget for the 2017 fall retreat. When I was doing the budget for the 2017 fall retreat, I was using the thinking. I needed to estimate the costs of rooms, the costs of meals, the costs of conference room, the costs of travel for staff. I needed to estimate all of that and, you know, do all kinds of estimations. And in order to do that, thinking needed to occur. But that was me using the mind, just like we use a calculator or we use a computer. So when I'm using the mind, I mean, that's just perfectly fine. That's what the mind is for. But when I'm not using the mind, all right, when I'm not using the mind, you could say when the mind is on idle and it's not being used, the mind is oftentimes still active. Not all of the time. There are times when I feel what we could call empty-headed or clear-headed. But there are other times when the mind is active. And what I notice when I am unattached to the mind is I notice that the activity of the mind is what I would call an echo. An echo. I don't know how else to describe it. And maybe the best way to see what I mean is to watch your mind yourself. You know, it's chattering along, and it could be, depending on who you are, it could be chattering about the past, and that will be much easier to see the echo if it's chattering about the past. But it could also be chattering about the future. But in that chatter, there are only echoes of the past. It's imagining the future and chattering about the future based on experiences of the past, learning of the past. And so it's just this echo. You know, it's as if, I wish I had a bell. Oh, I do. Let me see if this bell will work. Like right now, I'm going to actively ring the bell, hopefully just like once or twice if I can. But then listen to what happens after I stop actively ringing the bell. So here we go. Did you hear that? I rang the bell, but then there was this ring that continued when I wasn't ringing it. That's the echo. You hear that? Well, so sometimes we use the mind. And when we use the mind, that's okay. That's like me actively ringing the bell. But then when we aren't using the mind and it's on idle, there's this echo that continues. You know, the mind that chatters is just like an echo, and it's just continuing. This is why silent retreats are so wonderful. If you go to a really good silent retreat where there's no talking, there's no reading, there's no electronic devices, you know, the first few days you may still have this active echo mind, but what happens is it begins to fall silent because the mind hasn't been used to read. It hasn't been used to talk. It hasn't been used to, you know, play around on Facebook. And it just starts to fall silent. The echo dies. And what can happen on a fall retreat is you can experience this wonderful, wonderful silence. And then you come back to the world and you get back into conversations, back into the computer. And the echo, of course, starts up again. And you're like, what happened to the silence? Well, I mean, here's what happens at a fall retreat. At a fall retreat, just before the fall retreat started, you were talking to people. And then you stopped at the fall retreat. There was still an echo for a few days. And then it went silent. But when you come back into your daily life, you know, you may take short breaks, but then you use the mind again. You interact with somebody again. You interact with something again. And there's this echo. So the more that we use the mind, the more there's an echo, right? Now, the problem is that most people don't know the difference between when they're using the mind and when it's just echoing, when they're not using it, when it's idle and echoing. Oh, yeah, live your happy. That's Maria Felipe, isn't it? Hello, Maria. Most people don't know the difference between when they're using their mind and then when it's just echoing. And so the trick is to notice when the mind is just echoing and to detach from it, to see it as no more than an echo. This is not me thinking. This is just the mind. It was activated and now it's just echoing. It's just vibrating because it was activated. And if you can learn to kind of step back from that and just say, okay, the mind's just echoing now, but don't listen to it as if it's me thinking. Don't get all caught up in the future thoughts or the past thoughts or the, you know, self-commentary. Just kind of step back and see the echoing. Then you are detached from the mind. And when you're detached from the mind, what you will notice is that you are empty, even though the mind is echoing. And again, it's just kind of an automatic reaction, just like that bell echoed when I rang that bell. So what this is asking us to do is to lay down our attachment to the echo as if it is my thinking. That's what it means when it says, when it asks us to lay down our self. That self is our attachment to the thinking as if it's me thinking. Right? So lay down yourself. Lay down your attachment to the thinking as if it's you. And then you will begin to notice within that echo. You will begin to notice things about the way you still believe. Because in that echo, there will be fear. In that echo, there will be self-judgment. In that echo, there will be feelings that you need to control things. Everything that you actively think when you are using the mind, and you can use the mind with from a wrong point of view, like you can, you know, what I could be doing, I mean, I'm just trying to create a fair, a decent budget, but what I could be doing is, let's say I had the purpose of making lots and lots of money for Awakening Together, and I'm trying to control all the numbers to make sure that we make lots and lots of money. Well, since there would be a sense of control in my use of the mind, a sense of control would show up in the echo. You see, it would still be there. It would be echoing that control, just like the bell echoed that same tone. So when the mind is idle but active, right, you're not using it, it's idle but active, if you detach from it, what you're going to see and what the mind is just kind of muttering is you're going to see the way you use the mind. You're going to see your fear. You're going to see your guilt. You're going to see your attempts at control. They will show up for you in that detached mode. And of course, many, many people, the most common way to practice this, as you know, is in meditation. Right? The most common way to practice this is in meditation. People sit back in meditation. They're not actively using the mind. They're not creating a budget right now. But then the echo is there. And they watch the echo and they let it pass, and right? But you don't have to be in meditation to see the echo if you understand the process of the echo. You could be brushing your teeth and notice the echo. You could be doing dishes and notice the echo. You could be taking a walk and notice the echo. You know, anytime you're not using the mind, you're not using it. The mind is just active. If you detach from it and just kind of pay attention from a detached perspective, you will see the way you think. You will see the way you use the mind. And this can be very enlightening. You could say, oh my gosh, look at all that control in the echo. Look at all that fear in the echo. Look at all that guilt in the echo. Look at all that self-condemnation in the echo. Look at all that condemnation of others in the echo, right? And you don't want to judge yourself for what you see in the echo. You just want to become aware. You want to become aware, and that's it. That's the end. And that is exactly like in meditation. Right? In meditation, you're just aware. You stay out of the way. You know, the echo comes, the echo goes, the thoughts come, the thoughts go, and you just set an awareness. You cultivate that same practice in your everyday life, even when you're not sitting in meditation. And this is emptiness. What happens when you are in awareness and not attached to the mind is you are the right mind. You actively are the right mind. You're not in the right mind. You are the right mind. And so as you be the right mind, you be that emptiness, you be that unattached awareness, and the echo is happening and you're noticing what's in the echo, it's healing. Or another way to put it is you're going to lose interest in it. Healing and losing interest are the same thing. So this very first paragraph again. As an empty shell, you are filled by me. As an empty shell, you witness the reason that is your own. Lay down yourself in service to me, that you may serve me and come to know your true self. So the first way we're being asked to serve the Holy Spirit is by becoming detached from the echo as if it's my thinking, and instead just watch it. You could call this a state of meditation, right? Even though you may be moving around and doing other things, you have a meditative mind. The next paragraph. That which is revealed to you as you lay yourself aside and willingly become as an empty shell is also revealed to the mind. That which is revealed to the mind is useful in the healing of God's Holy Son. In laying yourself aside and willingly becoming as a shell, you offer yourself to be useful in holiness. That to which you offer yourself is that which you are. In laying yourself aside as an offering of grace to holiness, holiness in its grace is offered fully to you. So what this paragraph is saying is this isn't just a personal thing that you're doing. When you choose to detach from the echo, watch the echo with awareness, be the right mind, watching the echo completely detached, just noticing what's there, nothing else, right? When you are choosing to do that, you could almost say that creates a different kind of an echo. That creates a silent healing echo. And the silent healing echo goes beyond you, the personal self. The silent healing echo is heard in the entire mind. And maybe this explains to some degree why Hal and I, not being at all in touch for a couple weeks, we're having some of the same realizations. And this is just probably a very small, very limited example. But you know, the way I came to, I want to say be tired of, the way I came to be tired of ideas of awake and not awake, and the way I came to be tired of teaching spiritual teachings that I don't know from my own direct experience was through observation, through watching the echo. I mean, in the echo, I could see these things. And I just, you know, grew tired of them, lost interest in them. Again, losing interest, growing tired. These things can be synonymous with healing. I grew tired of this. I lost interest in this. I no longer wanted anything to do with this. That seemed to be a very personal, private thing. Now, I did share it with all of you all. But it seemed to be something that was happening here with me, with Regina, right? But then Hal, who hasn't listened to these teachings, who knows nothing about this observing that's going on and this clarity that's going on, shows up, and the same observing has been happening in him. The same clarity has been arising in him that was just, again, in his case, a little uncomfortableness with it. That's the healing echo, you see? And you know, how do I know where I got my healing echo? You know, the healing echo that caused me to observe this awakeness, you know, being tired of awake and being tired of teaching things that I've learned in books that I don't know from direct experience, teaching them as if they're true. How do I know that I didn't start noticing that in my echo because someone else that I've maybe even never met was focusing on that and having that clarity, and I've received their healing echo. You see, that's what this particular paragraph is saying. It's saying that which is revealed to you as you lay yourself aside and willingly become an empty shell. Okay, so what was revealed to me was how this idea of awake is really not helpful right now. It'd be better not to use it at all, in the positive or the negative. And also that teaching things that I've learned from books that I don't know, just, you know, that's no sense in doing that anymore, right? That's what was revealed to me, okay? It says, that which is revealed to you as you lay yourself aside, remember, laying yourself aside is being detached from the echo, not believing it's your thinking, not listening to it as if it's your thinking. That which is revealed to you as you lay yourself aside and willingly become as an empty shell is also revealed to the mind. I know because I was the scribe of this. I'm not interpreting this. I'm telling you what I knew. I know that this word mind means what we would call the totality. Everyone. This is the healing echo. That which is revealed to you, the apparent personal self, as you lay yourself aside and willingly become as an empty shell, is also revealed to the whole. That's what the word mind means there, is also revealed to the whole. That which is revealed to the mind, or in this case, that which is revealed to the whole, is useful in healing, in the healing of God's Holy Son, which again is the totality, what the Course would call the sonship. So in laying yourself aside and willingly becoming as a shell, you offer yourself to be useful in holiness. You see that? Because as you have realizations, as you see more clearly through laying yourself aside, you create that healing echo which goes out into the totality, and others pick up on that vibe and they begin to have the same realizations. Isn't that magnificent? I think it's magnificent. In laying yourself aside and willingly becoming as a shell, you offer yourself to be useful in holiness. That to which you offer yourself is that to which you are. And again, we may use language like, as I heal myself, others are healed. Myself, others, right? That language, because that's our language. But this is saying that's because there is no yourself and others. It's because it really is all one mind. And so, you know, it's very easy for that light to shine within that one mind. It's not passing from one to another. It's just the light shining in one mind. That to which you offer yourself is that which you are. In laying yourself aside as an offering of grace to holiness, holiness in its grace is offered fully to you. Okay, this sentence is really exciting. So again, if I choose to become detached from the echo, it's not my thinking, it's just the echo. Remember, I was using the mind a while ago to do a budget, and now I'm going to do dishes, and as I walk away and I don't need to use the mind anymore because I was using it to do a budget, there's an echo. Right? It's not my thinking, it's just an echo. So I become detached and I observe the echo to see what's in there, and that's just kind of going to reveal to me things that were still in my thinking. Was there fear in there, self-judgment in there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And as I do this, as I'm observing the echo from a detached way, I'm helping everyone because it creates a healing echo. You know, whatever realizations I have, whatever I see, and whatever I grow tired of, or said again, whatever I heal, it echoes out, right? A healing echo. So I'm laying myself aside as an offering of grace. That's what I'm doing in doing that work. I'm laying myself aside as an offering of grace because I'm doing it for everyone. Like Jesus said, my life is a ransom for many. That's true for every one of us. I lay myself aside as an offering of grace to holiness. Because what is that one mind, that totality, but holiness? That's what it is, right? So I'm laying myself aside as an offering of grace to holiness. And as a result of that, holiness and its grace is offered fully to me, which means the beneficence of the universe, or what you could call the right mind of the universe, or the awakeness of the universe, or the Holy Spirit. Because I am offering myself as an offering of grace to holiness by healing myself and creating the healing echo, well, this is exciting to the universe. The universe is excited by healing and truth. So the universe comes to me even more and helps me to heal even more, helps me to have more realizations, more clarity, grow tired of more ego tendencies, right? So that's like the healing echo coming back, only when the healing echo comes back, it's somehow almost like it's bigger, it's greater. There's a growth that happens. You know, maybe a good way to imagine it is my healing echo goes out. It hits what, let's just keep this small, just so my math doesn't go crazy too fast. My one healing echo goes out, hits 10 people, so it comes back to me, and it's 10 times it was the healing echo it was when it went out. You see that? My healing echo goes out, it hits, you know, what we would call 10 people, 10 aspects within the whole, and then it comes back, and it's now 10 times greater. So you could say we could get on a roll here. You know, we could get on a healing roll if we're willing to become that empty shell and be detached from our thinking echo. The problem is, of course, is that what we frequently don't do is become detached from the thinking echo. Instead, we think it's my thinking. And so what we're doing is we're giving it our attention as if it is my thinking. And in doing that, no healing echo is created, and therefore no healing echo comes reverberating back 10 times stronger, right? We kind of stay in this little, you know, people perceive it as stuck. I don't know that stuck is exactly the right word. It's just a little loop of believing our own thinking. It's just a little loop. There's no transcendence occurring there. So this is teaching us how to transcend that. First of all, learning the difference between when I am using the mind and when it is just echoing. Becoming detached from the echo and just observing it. Noticing what's there again, but just by noticing. We don't have to do anything. We just notice. But by noticing what's there, there's something in us that will naturally grow tired of egoic patterns. This is healing. When this naturally growing tired happens, when this naturally losing interest happens, healing happens. And as this happens, this creates a healing echo that goes out. It shines that same light in the apparent mind of others, and then now comes back even bigger. And the whole thing kind of starts again, you know, and then we do it again, but we almost do it with what you could call more enlightenment. We're now observing the mind with more enlightenment. And it just continues and continues and continues. And it's kind of like a spiral upward. You know, we've all experienced a spiral downward, I think. Spiral downward is the same thing. A spiral downward is when you're focusing on thinking as if it's yours. You're focusing on the echo as if it's yours. You're believing it. You're believing that self-judgment, or you're believing that judgment of others. That creates the negative spiral, that creates the thinking spiral, the wrong-minded spiral, by going out, alighting those same types of ideas in the minds of others, and coming back now 10 times bigger and hitting you, and you spiral down. So really the spiral down and the spiral up are the same divine law, but it starts with me. It always starts with me. For each and every one of us, it starts with me. So in every moment, I have a choice on whether I want to begin a spiral down or a spiral up by believing the echo as my thinking and giving it my attention, or by observing the echo from a detached state of awareness. And, well, you could say learning from it, learning what's in it, seeing it with the right mind, as the right mind. So, in laying yourself aside as an offering of grace to holiness, holiness in its grace is offered fully to you. That which has opened itself to the Spirit of God by becoming as an empty shell has made a statement onto the mind that is its own. It has said, I know I am not this thing I thought I was, as this thing cannot be my truth. So I put aside that which is false, that I may be open to receive only that which is true. So, in other places in NTI, it talks about how intention is everything. It's not really what you do. It's the intention behind what you do. So let's say the phone rings and it's a person. I'll just make up a name, Frank. It's Frank. And I'm happen to be, you know, I'm making this story up, by the way, so this is a false story. But I happen to be working on the fall retreat budget right now. I'm really involved in calculations, and I know intuitively that if I turn my attention away from this budget right now and answer this phone and talk to Frank, I'm going to kind of lose my place. I'm going to have to start over. It's going to make it more difficult. But out of guilt, I answer the phone and talk to Frank. That intention of guilt, has an effect. And again, just like we've been learning, everything echoes. Everything creates an echo. It could be a healing echo or it can be a wrong-minded thinking echo. But everything creates an echo. That creates an echo of guilt that's going to go out and, you know, reverberate back as a bigger echo of guilt. If I'm working on the budget and the phone rings and it's Frank, and I know intuitively that I'm going to lose my place if I answer the phone, and I also know it's okay, that this is where I'm to be right now, I can get to Frank later. There's an innocence in that. There's just a clear following intuition and innocence. It's okay. That's what reverberates and comes back, this sense of innocence. Intention underneath the actions has a huge effect. So what this last paragraph is saying is that if we choose to become detached from our echo, our thinking echo, and just be awareness, be aware of it, but not caught up in it. There's a reason for that. There's an intention in that. It's inherently built in. And the intention is the knowledge that I am not this self. And so what also goes out into the totality and reverberates and comes back to me bigger is the knowledge that I am not the false self. And you can see how that's true if you look at the opposite case. If I am caught up in my echo, caught up in my thinking, right? Caught up in what's echoing in the mind when I'm doing the dishes, and I'm, you know, caught up in that. Why am I caught up in that? I'm caught up in that because I believe I'm the person, this is my life, the story in the mind is about me right now, and somehow listening to it is important, right? I need to figure out what I'm going to say to Frank next time he calls. You know, I have to figure this out. This is important. It's because I believe I am the person. So when I listen to the thinking, when I'm caught up in the thinking, and by thinking again, I mean the echo, right? When I'm caught up in the echo, as if it is my thinking, there's an inherent belief in it that I am the person. When I detach from it, and I'm just aware of it without believing it, there's an inherent intention in it, inherent knowing in it, inherent knowledge in it, that I am not the person. So again, you can see kind of what we could call an upward or a downward spiral there. The downward spiral being a continuing belief that I'm the person. The upward spiral being a releasing of that belief. So every time we detach from our thinking and just watch it as awareness, just be aware, but we are literally detached. We are waking ourselves up, you could say. We are increasing our awareness of the knowledge of our truth. So So that's what this paragraph says. That which has opened itself to the Spirit of God by becoming as an empty shell has made a statement unto the mind that is its own. It has said, I know. There's the knowledge. It really, there's a knowledge in that. I know I am not this thing I thought I was, as this thing cannot be my truth. So I put aside that which is false, that I may be open to receive only that which is true. So every time we choose to just watch the thoughts, be aware of the thoughts instead of believing the thoughts, that intention is being echoed and reverberated. That knowledge. Starting at the top of page 289. When that which is false is put aside and that which is true is received and accepted, the mind listens to its truth. In its own memory, it recognizes its true self. Unto itself, it bids its true self welcome. So again, as we go through this simple practice that's being outlined in this chapter, again, for lack of better words, we are awakening ourselves to our true self. We are remembering our true self. And I'll call it a vertical upward spiral. I don't know else to call it. Oh, listen. Somebody's calling. Isn't that funny? But I'm going to put that aside because I know I can get to that later, and I still have 2 minutes here. Yeah, it's Frank. It's Frank. So what does this mean for us as we go off now for a week? I think one thing it means is that if you catch yourself listening to the echo as if it's you, just shift. Because, of course, as we know, if we judge ourselves for doing that, oh, I'm such a failure, I'm such a loser, because here I am believing my thinking again, that's going to create an echo. That's the downward spiral echo. That's going to go out there, hit up on, 10 to 20 more, little minds within the big mind and come back even bigger. Like, that's just not serving us. Right? It doesn't serve us. So if I catch myself believing my thinking, when I catch myself, that's the light of awareness that caught me. So just fall into the light of awareness. In that moment, become aware. And just practice that as much as possible this week. Nothing else. We all have plenty of idle time when we're not using our mind. We're doing dishes. We're feeding the dog. We're taking a shower. We're, walking. We're whatever. We're not using the mind, right? And that's when the mind's echoing. So do your best to be the detached awareness as the mind echoes. But when you get sucked in and you notice you were sucked in, it's the detached awareness that's noticing that. So just fall back into the detached awareness, nothing else. And just do that. All right? So that's it for me now, and I will see you all here in the sanctuary again later today. I'm here tonight with Jay. At 9 p.m. for the Michael Langford Study Group. Okay? Bye-bye.